Check. 1, 2, 1, 2, 1. The students of an international school in South Asia. They are currently AS pupils undertaking the History at Excel course, AS level, Changing Status of Women, 1860 to 1930. Today they will be debating the question, suffragettes, heroines, or hindrance? If you would like to pose us a question in real time, you're very, very free to do so. At History Chappie, that's the Twitter name. So if you want to put a question to either panel, please feel free. This is broadcast live via the Mixlr.com format, and we thank them for allowing us to do so. It'll also be available in posterity via SoundCloud as an MP3 file and iTunes as a fully downloadable podcast. Okay, I am going to invite a team of ladies and gentlemen to go first, and they will be proposing that the suffragettes were in fact heroines. For a bit of background, the suffragettes were part of the suffrage movement who wanted women to have the vote, but they were prepared to use any means necessary in order to obtain it. So I'm going to invite our panel of highly seasoned, highly experienced debaters from our team of heroine supporters to come and take the microphone and make their opening statement of no more than 1 minute. So, I'm going to put it over to you. Let's hear from you, please. Again, we thank everyone listening around the world, either live or in the recorded format. Are you ready? Excellent, thank you.
We have three layers of analysis for you on our part of saying that the suffragettes were heroines compared to being hindrances. Our first layer will be about how the WSPU militant actions increased, so did its support and donations. There's a positive correlation between the increase from 1905 to 1907, where Sir Henry Campbell Bannerman, the Liberal Prime Minister, passed on a qualification of Women's Act in 1907, which allowed women to serve on both borough and county councils. And the campaign for parliamentary suffrage redoubled. This means that, yes, this can be a course of chance. However, this positive correlation does support the fact that the violence, the bit of radical militarism, did bring about support towards the suffrage movement on legal basis. Further, the fact that the women who were the suffragettes who were on the newspapers of almost every national and regional newspaper also increased over this period of time where they used more and more violence. And this shows the magnitude of media attention that was brought about to the entire movement as a whole because of the WSPU's radical and militant actions. Lastly, we also want to show that the movement as a whole did change the minds of certain politicians, such as Herbert Asquith, who initially was against the suffrage movement, but changed his mind over the course of events and abolished the plural voting system. And although he didn't give in to the suffrage violence as a whole, he did certain actions that showed that he has changed his mind from initially being dead against suffrage movement to actually having some resistance for it.
Thank you very, very much indeed from our Year 12 participant who's advocated the case that the suffragettes were indeed heroines. It goes by its very, very nature. This is a polarised debate with two sets of pupils supporting the extremities. So we will now hear the counterweight that the suffragettes were in fact a hindrance to the wider suffrage movement. And I am now going to pass it over to the representative for that group to make their opening statement. Given the logistics of the classroom, the said representative is now perambulating towards me. Here you go.
If you consider the issue of American neocolonialist interests in the Middle East, and how Middle Eastern people have objections to that, nobody would say that the violence that Al-Qaeda propagated through flying a plane into the World Trade Center was a legitimate form of achieving aims that exploited individuals in the Middle East wanted to achieve. In the same way, we say that when trying to achieve the vote for women, the suffragettes bombing Mr. David Lloyd George's house did nothing for them. We have three major points of analysis for you. Our first one, under our first argument, we're going to look at why due process is so important when trying to achieve political reform. Our second argument is going to look at the nature of a movement and how the misconduct of one organization within that movement can defame the movement as a whole. And thirdly, we're going to look at the nature of democracy, and we're going to tell you how under any freely functioning democracy that the methods of the suffragettes were counterintuitive to women achieving the vote. First of all, why is due process so important? We say that every single government in the world wants to accommodate change. We say that's a name. We say that's principle to any effective model of governance, that it needs to accommodate change. Why? Because the economy changes, people change, society changes, and that's why you need to have some kind of due process that people can use to bring about change in the law in order to benefit them. But we say in order to do so, people tend to do crazy things. When people are passionate about something, they do crazy things. Let's say I was crazy about a girl and I started stalking her on Facebook and freaking her out. That's not the right way to do it, right? We say that the government has established a due process that you should follow in order to minimize harm and in order to achieve that benefit in a way as peacefully as possible. And we say that there are direct parallels to the civil rights movement in the USA as well, where you never saw militant groups like the Nation of Islam achieving any legal reform. Let's look at the nature of a movement. We say all organizations within a movement represent essentially the same people. Why? Because they represent the same cause. We say the suffragettes and the suffragists both wanted to represent women who wanted to be enfranchised. And we say on those grounds that they share a certain degree of vicarious liability. They were interdependent, and I'm going to show you, therefore, why, because they were interdependent, it was unfair of the suffragettes to actually take militant action. Why? Because we say militant action always operates outside the law, and therefore it's the obligation of any responsible government, whether it's the Labour Party, Conservative Party, or Liberal Party, to condemn that violence. And we say, therefore, in condemning the violence, because there is an interdependence, because you represent the same cause, the government is also obliged to reject the NUWSS's goals as well, because the suffragettes were acting outside the law. And we say because your cause is linked to what you do, the entire movement was defamed and it hindered the achievement of suffrage for women. Thirdly, let's look at democracy. What do any set of people in a democracy want their government to provide to them? We say that's life, liberty, and property. And why did the suffragettes propose a threat to all of them? Life. Why? Because the suffragettes, by after 1910, the suffragettes became increasingly militant. They started bombing things. They started bombing houses. For example, David Lloyd George's house. So they posed a threat to life by conducting such militant activity. They threatened everyone's liberty, like I've already told you, because they defamed the suffrage movement, and they again threatened property by destroying things again, and that was against the vested interests of any democracy.
Thank you very, very much indeed to our panel of candidates and the selected speaker, propositioning that the suffragettes were in fact a hindrance to the wider suffrage movement. I have some very, very brief questions for each panel. I'm going to start with the panel that are suggesting the suffragettes were in fact heroines. I'm going to ask you, do you see any element or elements of truth in the arguments put forward by your opposition team? So are there any elements of truth in the arguments put forward by your opponents in this debate? Either the premise of their arguments, the arguments themselves, or the outcomes. Is there any element of truth whatsoever? Thank you.
I think it's safe to say that we all agree that both the suffragettes and the suffragists did do work for the movement. Fine, we can all say that, but what we're saying, the debate today is not who was better and who achieved the most. The debate today is whether suffragists were in fact heroines and were in fact champions of the cause, which they were, which you never proved to us that they weren't. And also several layers of your analysis were severely flawed. First of all, you spoke about how militant groups like the Nation of Islam and militant groups in general, being a very generalized term, very rarely achieve anything. Well, let's look at the Black Power movement in America. It's very unfair of you to say that they didn't achieve anything when they set up liberation schools, when they invested in treatments of sickle cell anemia, when they put forth the cultural revolution with the manifestation of a new identity for Black people. And therefore, it's clear that throughout history, militancy, not violence, not outright mass murder like with your parallels of the Al-Qaeda, but militancy is very much capable of achieving, of engendering social, cultural, and legislative change. Furthermore, you never contested the fact that we brought out that the suffragettes brought the debate of the votes for women to a whole new platform. They increased the magnitude of support for it, they increased the viewer base of this issue, and they made it a nationwide issue, something that without militancy would not have happened. Furthermore, we just find it, as a sub-point, we find it extremely ironic that you advocate democracy and the due process when it's basically the supposed democracy that the Britain was living under at this time that prosecuted women. So we find it hilarious as you how you can advocate due process and democracy when it was because of due process and democracy that women were in the inferior situation that they were. So therefore, it is clear that there needed to be a change in what was perceived as democracy, because democracy is equality. And therefore, we believe that this civil disobedience was necessary in order to achieve what the true meaning of democracy is, which is equality on all fronts. And therefore, this is why we feel that suffragists were heroines for that cause.
Our candidate made a fantastic speech, rather twisted the premise of the question, which was there any element of truth in the opposition. But that was very, very skillfully done, and thank you very much indeed for that. Same question to the opposition. To what extent is there any element of truth in the argument or arguments put forward by your counterparts? So to what extent is there any element of truth? In your humble opinion, obviously.
It can be stated to a certain extent that what they have put forward is true. For example, some of what they achieved was because they deserve full credit for it. However, how they achieved it is suspect, and therefore it is debatable, and the side opposing the theory that suffragettes were heroines disagrees on that basis.
Thank you very, very much indeed. I appreciate that. Clear points put forward to support their own cases, and to some extent to acknowledge elements of truth in the arguments put forward by their counterparts. I'm going to come back to the team supporting that they were, in fact, a hindrance. To what extent are historical comparisons valid in this context? We've discussed a number of other groups from different epochs, periods, and locales and contexts in history, such as the Nation of Islam. Al-Qaeda, I think, were mentioned. To what extent in this context are they valid or not? And then to support your answer, could we have a justification citing specific evidence, if that's okay?
Absolutely, sir. Because first let's look at the dichotomy between the suffrage movement in the UK and the civil rights movement in the USA, right? Both groups were complaining, both groups had issues with a legal framework that they believed was oppressive of their respective groups. And Black Americans did face very similar grounds of discrimination as women did in the United Kingdom. Black Americans were disenfranchised on the grounds that they lived in poverty. Women were disenfranchised on very similar grounds, on the grounds that most of them could not own property because it was usually owned under their husbands. So, as in the late 1890s, when the suffrage movement wanted to bring about this change, they utilized a certain due process. And we said that's why in the early 1890s, prior to the formation of the WSPU, there was far more legislative process than there was post. Now, if you look at the WSPU's success, we say it's only notable success that was achieved after its formation, for which it has any credit for, is the post-World War I bills, right? And we say the reason for that is because when World War I broke out, there was a radical change in the policy of the WSPU where it suddenly gave up on its militancy and cooperated with the government. If the WSPU had done that same thing 15 years ago when the British government had problems in Northern Ireland, then we say the same context would have existed 10 years earlier and women would have gotten the vote far earlier again. So that by definition is proof that there was a hindrance that the suffragettes created by virtue of their policy.
Very, very clearly articulated. Thank you very, very much indeed. Okay, an alternative question to the cohort advocating that they were in fact heroines, to the contrary of the fact they could have been a hindrance. I would like to ask our esteemed panel, goodness me, what would I like to ask our esteemed panel? I would like to ask, you've advocated there are heroines, but to what extent were they merely jumping on the bandwagon or stealing the success of their suffragist counterparts? So you've called them heroines, but to what extent should the question actually be, how far are the suffragists the heroines? So are you stealing their thunder, in short?
Sir, suffragists and suffragettes aren't mutually exclusive. Just because one group is successful, it doesn't mean that the other group is stealing their thunder. It just means that the movement itself is prospering. And whilst the suffragists might have been more successful in certain areas, the suffragettes were successful in others, more so than the suffragists, for instance, in creating national awareness of this issue with the mass media that the suffragettes were presented in. And also, so therefore, you can't really say that they're stealing their thunder when they did in fact contribute a lot to the movement. For instance, they're the ones who they rallied the support of several politicians like David Lloyd George when they suspended their activities during the war and helped the war effort. So therefore, they rallied support in this way. They rallied lots of support and donations when they in fact increased their militant actions, showing that militancy did in fact help. So therefore, it's not a question of who was more successful, the suffragettes or the suffragists, because their successes were in different areas. So you can't, just because the suffragists were successful in what they did, so were the suffragettes, and therefore the suffragettes did contribute to the movement. So it's unfair to say that they weren't heroines, because what they did make a difference and it contributed to women's enfranchisement as a whole.
A very, very skillful and eloquent dissection of the question there. Thank you very, very much indeed. Okay then, before we go to peer questioning, I'm going to ask each cohort if there was anything they would like to have said that they've not yet had the opportunity to do so. I'll give them 30 seconds. If they said everything they'd like to have said, they don't have to speak. Anything you'd like to add, offer to the cohort who are claiming that they were in fact a hindrance. You've got 30 seconds of mic time.
Okay, let's look at what the side supporting heroines has said today. They've said that the WSPU attracted media attention, and they did this. However, there are other ways to do this. Think of it this way. On the news, assume that you see a protest on one channel and you hear of a bomb attack on another. Is there any possible way, by virtue of instinct as a human being, that you would consider the bomb attack as an act of good faith, an act that would intentionally earn you positive support from whoever, whatever audience you're targeting. No. However, mass protest does earn you sympathy. It shows you that there's a large number of people who are being wrong is being done by, and therefore naturally your sympathy would rest with them. Next, they came up here and said that one of their successes were achieved post World War One. Exactly. This is proof that they were doing the wrong thing before, and had they done that earlier, they would have achieved it much faster.
Excellent point. Very, very well and skillfully put, and also expediently too, to meet the time deadline. Thank you very much indeed. Likewise to our team claiming they were heroines, you've got 30 seconds of mic time to say anything that you would like to have said but have not yet had the opportunity to do so.
The opposing team came up here and said that the blacks were disenfranchised due to poverty. There's a severe flawed factual error in that statement, whereas the blacks were enfranchised on a basis of inferiority compared to the whites that advocated white supremacy. It was because of their inferiority that they were disenfranchised, not because they were poor, not because they couldn't afford basic things. It was because they were seen as inferior compared to the whites. So basically, we want to question the other accuracy of the facts that they came up here and mentioned. Further, with another point of where they came up here and said it was post World War One that women got most of their success. We question that too. Look at the years before the World War One. The women percentage of women in school boards increased. Percentage of female teachers to male teachers increased. And the ironical thing of that is women over 30 who didn't contribute to the war effort were the ones who got the vote after the war. So it was the actions before that manifested, along with the global universal effort that did give the women vote.
Again, another very eloquent point. Okay, finally, to summarise, we'll allow each team to ask the other one question if they wish to do so. I'm going to ask that our candidates do not load the question. Ask the question. Do not make a statement of your own. A simple, to what extent, how far, evaluate, judge, justify, or a low level, describe, explain is fine. Do not load the question. All right. Would you like to ask a question?
Hashila, you said that the women who were part of the WSPU and actually worked, you know, until after the First World War, were not rewarded by the voting rights that were distributed to women. So why weren't the WSPU awarded, members of the WSPU, why were they not, you know, awarded these rights if they did everything so well?
Excellent question. I will offer it to the opposition panel. Would you like to respond to that question? You don't have to. You have the right to remain silent at all times.
So could you repeat the question? That's okay. Iran, could you repeat the question, please? Okay, first of all, there's a huge misconception on that part. I never said they were not rewarded. I said that it was the efforts before the war as well as the efforts after the war that brought about the entire supposed reward for the entire suffrage movement. It was the action. They were rewarded to a certain extent. I mean, the representation of the People's Act and all that. It was an effort as a whole, not just the ones after the war, and they were rewarded to a large extent.
Thank you very, very much indeed. A clear answer to a clear question. Would you like to reciprocate and ask a question of your own?
In saying that women weren't heroines, which is your burden of proof, you're saying that they didn't achieve much for the movement at all, saying that they weren't champions of the cause. So in what way can you justify that they didn't achieve anything for the cause at all, which is your burden of proof, saying that they were actually a hindrance and did bad things for the cause?
Yikes. Tough question. I'm glad I haven't got to answer it. Here you go.
Contrary to that, sir, it's not a very hard question. At the start of my first speech, I gave you three reasons as to why they were a hindrance. Firstly, because they violated due process, which is not an effective way of trying to bring about legal change, as I spoke to you about explicitly. Secondly, because they committed illegal acts that were condemned by the government, that reflected badly on the movement as a whole, and the movement as a whole became branded as one that went outside the law to achieve what it wanted. Thirdly, because like Birendra told you, because the actions are always inherently by nature going to be perceived in a negative light, we concede that the militancy of the suffragettes attracted a lot of media attention. But what we don't concede to is that that media attention was beneficial. We say if everybody knows that you bombed a house, that doesn't make you the most popular person in that country. That's more likely going to make you the most unpopular person in the country. Therefore, by democratic processes, it was bad.
Okay, due to the constraints of classroom timing and logistics, I'm going to have to call a close to the debate. I'm not going to make a judgment. I will leave that to the Twitterverse, the YouTubeverse, to do for us. If you have a question for any or either of our panels or any individual therein, you can tweet Mr. Patrick at HistoryChappie. That's my Twitter name. Tweet me and I will put it to the candidates. We thank you very, very much for coming in to join us in our Year 12 classroom. It's been a pleasure to have you. You can download this from iTunes or SoundCloud or the Mixlr.com format. Okay, so I'm going to say goodbye. Goodbye. Our panelists are going to shout goodbye.
Goodbye.
Thank you very, very much indeed. It's been an absolute pleasure to have you. Au revoir.